The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
I want to welcome our very good friend, Martin, and his lovely wife to the Dana Cortez Show. Martin Amini.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, Jolene, thank you so much for being here. I know I didn't ask you to be on, but you agreed. You're turning red. Why are you turning red?
I didn't know I was going to do this today.
We put you on last time you were here with
us. We put you on.
Dana, Charlene loves you, by the way.
Yes, I do.
I love you.
You're such a great personality.
Thank you.
You're legendary in this field.
Oh, I appreciate
and
that.
It's great to see strong Latinas, you know, doing
oh my gosh.
Thing. These are her words, by the way. I'm just repeating what I'm translating.
I was like, you don't understand my dance.
I really appreciate that so much. Well, go see him. Thank you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just such a fan of, well, first of all, happy belated anniversary.
Yes. How many years are you guys now?
This is our second year.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
But you guys have been together for a minute, though, right?
Yes.
How does
marriage
it
is different.
It is different.
Don't take away the marriage years, okay?
Okay.
The marriage years is definitely a different energy.
Talk about the difference between the dating and now you're 2 years into marriage. What is different about the relationship now?
I feel like dating is like algebra 1 and algebra 2. And being married is like calculus. There's a lot more formulas involved.
Yes.
Carry the two. What does X mean? What is Y? And then you got to figure out why, you know?
Yeah. No,
why is she mad?
Why is she upset? Don't you just explain to him what's wrong, or you want him to read your mind like I want Otto to read my mind?
Explaining?
You're supposed to know.
Exactly,
I did
right?
Explain. He wasn't paying attention.
There you go. Speak on it, girl.
Sounds just like Dana. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Whatever. You guys
we need
have
to create a book. We need to create a playbook
for being married
to a Latina.
It has extra chapters.
After I say it twice, that's on you.
Like, every chapter is a different
movie. Why do I have to say it over and over? And then he's like, why are you nagging?
Because
it's not nagging. If you would just listen to it the first time, mm-hmm. you have or figured something out. You're doing something that I absolutely love to follow on socials,
yes.
TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. You're connecting love.
Yeah.
You're connecting people during comedy.
Definitely.
Have you found a forever match? Do you know of a couple who started dating and now they're married or at least moving toward that?
That's probably the next step. You know, we got to do a better job reaching out to all the couples we've hooked up.
Doing the follow-ups.
Yeah.
Have any of them turned into successful relationships yet that you know of?
I get pictures sent to me from like, you know, date nights and, you know.
There was one couple that they hadn't been engaged yet or something and they'd been together for 5 years and he got the dad on the phone or something. Remember?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
They're married now, aren't they?
Are they married?
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go.
Yes.
He's like, call them up right
Dude,
now.
I've had people come to my shows and they said they've met in the comment section of my videos.
Yeah. You're
That's
kidding.
Another. I just remember that right now.
Yeah.
That was a crazy thing.
I saw another video of yours where the guy was kind of following you from city to city wanting to find somebody also.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
I can see that.
Well,
you know, we get all types, man. We get people, you know, we get, people with, disabilities.
Looking for love, right? Wanting to find
somebody. Everybody wants to find love.
I think we live in a time where it's really hard to communicate because of social media. People have trouble, like, expressing themselves or, you know, knowing the right way to approach girls. And I think girls just have, like, this, they're beaten down by dating apps. And I think they just need someone to come in and, like, mediate some of this stuff. And it's been great. You know, it's very fulfilling to see people of all ages, honestly.
So you kind of alluded to something that I wanted to ask you. You're at the club, the comedy club. You see
the improv this weekend.
The improv. Well, obviously
comedy club,
this weekend.
Not the club.
At the improv. But you're there and you're seeing all these people. Why is it you think people are having so much trouble finding love? Because my girlfriends, I've got successful, beautiful. I mean, I'm talking women that are like...
Who got it together.
And they just can't find a good person. What is it that you're seeing that's causing that?
I think it's just human connection. I think we lack, like, social media has really traumatized us. I think the pandemic messed us up a little bit. Like, I think it stunted a lot of people's growth. Like, the years they were supposed to really learn how to...
Develop
and work on, like, their skills. Because I think growing up in the early 2000s, 90s, you were forced to...
Talk to people.
Mm-hmm. Talk to women.
You had to call their house and actually talk to their dad and ask for them.
Oh, my gosh.
have a personality, you know. And I think we, we're so busy using emojis now that we don't, you know, we gotta go back to the basics.
You literally have to figure out, what does this dead rose mean? Like, no, you're right. Like, there's all these secret ways of communicating instead of just having to talk face to face with somebody. Do you remember calling a girl's house and having to ask her parents? Did you go through that at all?
Yeah, there was it was a weird, you know, seventh grade was weird.
That was when it all started. Yes.
Yeah, it was really, but that was the time you developed, like, you know, those skill sets of, like, knowing how to communicate, even with the parents, knowing how to talk to parents, learning how to talk to the lady. And
then, in a respectful way?
Yeah, of course, 100%.
Because my girlfriends are like, all he asks for is a dirty photo or sends me a meat pic that I did not solicit. I'm not asking for that, you know? We don't want to see that.
No.
We don't want to see that. Don't just...
Also, there's a lot of misinformation.
It's scary.
I think it is scary.
Thank you.
Your Jump own friends scares. Can be, like, your worst advisors.
Yes.
You know? I think there's so much
bad advice. Taking advice
from all these people on the internet. The internet has become so important to us that people are now wrapping up their identity in their social media profiles. That they think that they're actually that person that they post on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook. And I think that they want to be so cool or be that person so much that that's part of the reason that people can't connect. It's a personal theory.
No, I see it all. I see it a lot. I see a lot of people are just disillusioned in what they think they deserve, you know? And I think there's just like a level of like, yo, you got to like find peace within yourself, you know? And then I think what's meant for you will come to you. But you got to really like work on yourself.
Now, let me ask you something. We have your beautiful wife here of 2 years. You just celebrated your anniversary. Do you guys still do date night?
We do.
Yes.
We do.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, how often?
It's important. I mean, we try to do it at least once a week. We like discovering new places. Mm-hmm. We just went to this really cool Mexican spot in Washington, D.C., where we live.
That sounds like an oxymoron. Is there really good Mexican food in Washington, D.C.?
This spot in Mount Pleasant, it has amazing breakfast tacos. And it was just like it was really cool to just discover things with your wife. Like, do things like, you know, treat it like, you know, the dating days. And I think keeping it fresh, watching new shows together, discovering shows. Yeah, we love watching new shows together.
Yes.
Do you plan the date night or do you plan the date night?
No, he'll do it. Like, sometimes I'll come in after I get my hair done, and he's like, let's go to sushi. Let's go to, like, the really nice place, and I get to get dressed up.
Oh, I love that, because your hair's a blowout or something, and you just feel good about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll call an Uber. We'll kind of treat it real nice, you know.
I love the Uber because you guys are going to have some drinks.
Yeah.
You got to do it responsibly.
And we were in the car talking more, like, you know, it's just more chill, it's more laid back and less like a task, you know. And I think, just creating that.
It's more one-on-one because you don't have to drive.
So. Think about that word. So Otto and I talk about date night a lot and we hardly ever do it. So because it is a task. You got it. Calling an Uber, that's a great idea.
Yeah,
you don't
it makes
have to worry
it,
about it.
It doesn't make it feel like you're
worry-free.
Just another job.
Yeah, these are life hacks that I had to learn. Like, you know, even like down to like the hotel, like get a bigger hotel so it feels like more of a getaway than a work weekend.
Right. You know? Oh, I love, because you travel with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So we got a nice hotel and, you know, she loves the view. And so now she's happy when your wife's happy the whole weekend.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah. So it's like, yo, spend a little bit more, keep her happy, you know, and just, you know, little details I picked up. You know, I'm 2 years into marriage. So
You're not an expert.
Yeah. So you guys are 2 years in. And you know what the next step is?
Yes.
When's that coming
about?
Have you talked about it?
That's next. I mean, it's definitely next. Yeah.
Are y'all trying?
Yes. That's definitely.
Oh, I love that.
Gosh, I love hearing that. Now, recently, I saw you were at some game and you ran into Jay-Z.
Yes.
See, you got excited with Jay-Z. I would have been excited with Beyonce, but that's just me. What happened? What went down with that?
It was just the Commanders versus the Cowboys last year at FedEx Field, and
did the Cowboys win?
They did.
Okay, thank you. I needed to make sure of that. Continue.
No, I think Jay-Z pulled up with the NFL commissioner, and it was my first time seeing him like up close like that. And I just, you know, I grew up on like, you know, the Blueprint album, Reasonable Doubt, and I was just like, damn, that's Jay-Z.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he didn't stop for pictures at all. He didn't even acknowledge me. I was like, okay. Okay.
Who do you get starstruck with besides Jay? I mean, Jay-Z's huge. Otto,
We interviewed him one time, and it's the worst interview.
No, you did. You said you could handle it. Speak
it was the worst interview I've ever done because I got starstruck, and I didn't know how to handle myself. And then what made it even worse was I ran into him shortly after that, and he just looked at me, too, like, why are you even by me?
Oh, man. What happened at the end? What made it so bad?
I was nervous. I was asking
you're
dumb.
Turning red right now.
Yeah, it's literally the worst interview I've ever done.
What album was he on when you interviewed him?
It might have been
2008. No, it was probably 2006, probably. Like, so it was like the comeback
of our radio careers.
Like, yeah, yeah. It was, yes. I was, or maybe it was the Black Album. It might have been the Black Album.
Okay, so that's pretty hot. Yeah,
yeah. It was, he was peak Jay-Z. Yeah. And I was, I thought I was ready. I just wasn't ready to do it. He was the only person that I really clammed up for when I had to interview.
You know,
like,
who I interviewed that was really cool? Black Sam, Nipsey Hussle's brother.
Oh, wow.
I interviewed him like back in January when they were opening Marathon Burger, their first location in LA.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was kind of like a moment where I'm like, looking at my camera guys like, yo, don't mess this up. You know, like, get the audio
recording.
Yeah.
Is there the lights
well,
are
only
right?
Because it was just such a, he doesn't, from what I understand, he didn't do a lot of interviews.
Yeah, yeah.
And he
yeah.
doesn't really talk a lot about, you know, his background. And he shared all his stories with Nipsey growing up, like as kids, their parents, how they even thought about Marathon. They used to work at a burger spot when they were teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
They used to like wash the dishes, and one of the cooks taught Black Sam, Nipsey's brother, how to like flip the burgers, and they took that original cook and brought them to the new location, Marathon Burger.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it's like all these like crazy, like whoa, like stories. I don't know. That was a very like, I feel like I was getting like history told to me through the brother. You know, so that was really cool.
Do you feel like it's because of where you are now in your career that people almost feel like they're connected to you? They know you from not just going to your shows, obviously, but Martin, you're like at a different level. People watch you; they're invested. I see thousands of shares.
My gosh!
Yeah. I think. Thank you for the compliment. I think a lot of it's just the relationships I've built and them kind of vouching for me.
Yeah,
it's a very old school thing where like, you know, but you know, your rep's your rep, and like if the right people, especially in LA or cities like Houston, or the East Coast like New York, like when the right people know you and they can be like, yo, Martin's like, he's solid.
The cosign.
It's gonna be a good show.
Yeah, the cosign still has a lot of value, and it gets me. And you know, Black Sam's not like the biggest celebrity, but he holds a lot of weight in LA.
Yeah.
And if so, you know, you know.
If
that's
you know, you
when
know.
You land in right. that, you know, that's part of somebody who runs the city. I get it. Like when you drop down in Houston, Bun B, Paul Wall, you know right away.
You gotta know about A-Leaf. You know what I mean?
You gotta know about A-Leaf.
Yes.
And then, you know,
yes.
there's a store I'm gonna go see probably later today, Dios.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go check them out. They're doing amazing things. I was there last. I pulled up for the first time last year, and they do a lot of stuff with like Bun B and like
Baby Bash is here.
I love the entrepreneurial spirit of Houston. Mm-hmm.
It's always been it. It's always pop that trunk and sell those CDs. Is how it started off.
Yeah.
And I mean,
once you establish yourself
here in Texas, you're good. You can be good in Texas and make a really good living.
Comedians are popping. Ali Sadiq, Mo Amer, you guys got like a great thing going here.
You know who we just sat down with? Ralph Barboza. Do you know him?
We spoke one time on the phone, but that was it. But I mean, he's a guy who's crushing it. It's really cool to see what he's doing. And yeah, he just puts on for the community. I think nothing but positive. I think it's like, yeah, it's so cool to see a young homie.
What I was going to say.
That's so impressive is like what he's doing at that age and like how he's handling everything, because I feel like I got what I got at the right time because I can handle it.
Yes.
But what he's doing is like extraordinary. So it's really cool to see someone like that, you know, handle like at least online.
He was cool.
You see it like, oh man, I hope. But you know, you hope. I don't want to. Damn, it makes me even think about Ken Flores now.
Yeah,
I know.
Because like that was someone that I was taking on the road with me when we met.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great guy. Great. Had a humongous comedy career in front of him. Yeah.
I feel like that week, the week I met you or sat down with you. I don't know if Ken was with me or he was featuring for me that weekend.
I think he was. I think he was.
Because we interviewed him shortly after we interviewed you.
Yes. I remember that.
Yes, he was. I think he was with you.
So like, I was with them in the early, like when we first started hitting the road, and he's another guy like Ralph that was just blowing up. Like we were all, it was weird. Like we were all kind of bubbling at the same time.
Yeah.
It was like a very crazy time for Latino comedy.
I was going to say, and now we've kind of got like a resurgence of Latino comics.
It's, yeah. I think it's the first time though that this has happened to this capacity because
social media.
Yes. Yeah. Because you've always had the George Lopez. We've had Paul Rodriguez. We've had, other
Fluffy.
Legends.
This feels Fluffy, different obviously. Because it's like the West Coast. It was Chicago, Washington, D.C.,
yep.
Dallas, And so this covered every
region. Major,
yeah. It was all happening at the same time.
That's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about. When I saw the George Lopez thing, when he kind of put Ralph down, obviously mm-hmm. you've seen that. Do you think, and here's my theory, why somebody would do something like that, because when they were coming up, there weren't a lot of positions. And so you feel threatened by somebody, they're going to come take mine. Do you know what I mean? Whereas now it's different. I feel like with social media, the more people we bring in, the stronger we are,
I think it's that just, I think it's just a lot of that old school tough love, that Theo energy.
Yeah, Theo energy.
Who's this guy? Who's that,
don't bring his name up.
But I think it just got, carried away. It just went too, it got weird. And then the social media got a hold of it and it went crazy.
George is a stand-up dude. We met him. He's good, except to his wife. But anyway, took her kidney and cheated. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
Charlene does not like that
story. Yeah, I don't like that story.
I had to tell him that story. I was like,
I want it back in the divorce. Yeah. That's mine. 50. Do you talk to George? Are you friends with him? Have you ever spoken to him?
No, I was at this event where Chappelle was at the Improv when he was getting that Mark Twain award.
Yeah.
And it was like, who's who in the building, and I remember Chappelle's on stage, and then we just hear like this loud knock at the back of the DC Improv, like, and everyone's just quiet. It's like mad, like sketchy. Like, what the hell's going on?
Like a cop or something, almost.
And then someone opens the door, and then Dave Chappelle goes, "Is that George Lopez?" He goes, "Hey Dave, I'm sorry I'm late. Dog, it's like a sold out event."
Yeah.
He goes, "I'm sorry I'm late, Dave."
Oh my gosh.
It was so funny. The timing of that was so funny.
But that was a great impersonation.
Yeah.
Do you do impersonations?
I can.
Yeah. All right, who do you impersonate? This is new. Who do you impersonate?
No, I'm not like a, Ari Spears type where I'm not going to go into like different characters, but like on stage, I have fun and I love impersonating people, off the cuff.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Being that you're from DC, do you have a relationship with Chappelle?
I've met him a few times, similar situation. We're from the same city, Silver Spring, Maryland. And he's a GOAT, of course. And so it's an exciting time for stand-up. Yeah. I'm excited for this weekend. Got a lot of new material.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, tell us about some of the new material.
The new material. I mean, you can't give it all away, but obviously you're here in Houston.
You're still going to do the dating thing, though, right?
Yeah, we're going to do a little bit of that, but this round is going to be a lot more stand-up. I want to do a better job of, getting my story out there.
Oh, I love that.
And, it's been... It's cool to see a lot of other comics put out specials. I'm like, it's time for me to put out a special, so I got to start.
Hulu, Netflix, Prime, where you at?
Yeah, I got
to. Where's that check?
Yeah, I got to lock in and just, get the stand-up. I got to do a better job getting more my stand-up.
So here's my idea for you. You need a game show.
I was going to say,
I thought I did too, I'll be honest, and that's why it didn't happen, so I'm like, all right, how long? And not to, I feel like it's been, now other people are starting to do it, and I'm just like, I got to
move on,
because I feel like I did it. Mm-hmm. It's done. It's documented. We did it at a very high level in theaters, and now it's like, all right, let's just
move on to something else. Get that special. Yeah. And you've got the chops to do it. You're there.
And we're having a good time. Everything is like it's everything's still fun. Mm-hmm. That's why I love Houston. It's like it's a fun city.
It's
the city that never sleeps. You never leave Houston on a Sunday.
Right.
That's
right.
What they say. Because don't, because the party actually starts then.
Yeah, because you got an extra show on Sunday. Yeah. I promise you, if you want to go to after hours, there's a lot going on.
We have one across the street from our house. We never go, though. But tell us a little bit about your story, because I remember asking you when we first met, and that's what intrigued me about you and Charlene, obviously. But tell us about your history, your mom, your dad, all of that.
Yeah, no, both my parents are immigrants. My mom is from Bolivia in South America. My dad's Middle Eastern. He's from Iran. They came to America like in 1980. And my dad, he started, an ice cream truck business where he drove an ice cream truck and then he started buying more ice cream trucks. And so all my uncles got into the business. And so I grew up in this family of ice cream truck drivers. And, my first car was an ice cream truck.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. I remember my dad was like, well, if we're going to buy you a car, we might as well make a profit. And
oh, I bet the chicks loved that.
Yeah, it was
actually, though, if you pull up with ice cream, everybody loves you.
But you're forced to, like, learn how to talk early.
Oh, yeah.
And not be scared, you know? And you know,
yeah, because so. Ice cream truck's not sexy when you're in high school.
So I've always been, like, a little salesman. And so... And so, yeah, now...
It's
now,
like Scarface. You want some ice cream? Remember Tony Montana? Yeah, that was you in real life.
Yeah. And then you know, that evolved. And now I got into comedy in 2012. And it's been crazy. I didn't get my big break till, like, probably, like, a few years ago.
How did you tell your immigrant parents, I'm not going to be a businessman, I'm going to do comedy? Dude. How did that go over?
Honestly, it wasn't that hard because I do have a cousin that's, like, pretty famous comedian. And so I think they're like, well, if he can do it, you can do it.
Okay.
You're funny, too.
Is that your dad?
Yeah.
You do good impersonations as we continue with that. So, Martin, let's talk about your podcast. When did you start this podcast?
It's new, but I really love it. I just really love doing it because these are homies from D.C. It's called the Roommate Away Podcast. It's the name of my comedy club, which I started 4 years ago in Washington, D.C. during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it's just like I was like looking at other podcasts and I was like, yo, I feel like comedy podcasts don't really do comedy no more.
Yeah.
It's all very political and serious and like.
Can we have a space that it's not? And that's what you're giving people. That's what
I think this is just straight jokes. We literally talk about what new jokes we're working on and we'll just tell the new jokes and then we'll just try to like tag it up, you know, and get it ready for like the, you know, the tour. And then we, they're just like regular comics that are just like trying to make it too. So like I'm on tour and I'm trying to do a better job of like helping the new comics in DC get their platform going and like taking it from like just being local to go national.
So there was one, and it's funny because Otto and I yesterday, you know, we obviously were married and we were kind of brainstorming. We need a new bit and we want to do race wars, but not that kind of race. It's a speed race, but a play on words, kind of thing, where we talk about the differences between his family, he's white, and my family, I'm Mexican-American, and kind of do that. And I saw y'all talking about immigrant parents versus white parents.
Yes.
Where did that idea come from? Obviously, your story.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? What are some of the differences that you guys talked about?
Immigrant parents versus white parents.
And I think it was like the race thing or who are more racist?
Sometimes I think immigrant parents, because there's a language barrier, they don't have a filter, one, and sometimes they don't have all the words to describe situations without using just colors.
That's what we're going to call them, colors.
We're going to call them colors. Yeah. I always say, man, my grandmother used to say things. I'd be like, Nana, you want to see a racist person, meet an old Mexican woman. I'm telling you right now. Mind, no, they just say
stuff. They're like, I'm not racist. I'm just being descriptive.
No. That's the I'm like, Nana, no, don't say that. You're my neighbor or my doctor. You know, I'm like, it's just a doctor. Why does he have to be the Indian doctor, Nana? My God. Like, you know.
But it's cool because there's like a white comedian on the podcast that we use. He's like our white liaison. You know, we're like, can we say this? And you're like, yeah, it's cool.
It's cool.
You get the white pass.
Is it racist to talk down to white people?
Is it racist to talk down?
To talk, not down, but to describe something. Like when I always say I love beans and tortillas, people are like, that's racist. Why? I like beans and tortillas.
That's not racist.
Is it wrong to say white people? I don't know. What do y'all like?
I don't know. I grew up with a bunch of Mexicans.
I know. So I'm not the best white guy. He's not a good liaison. What do white people like?
River dancing. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Is it racist to say white people like river dancing?
One thing I've learned by like working with white people and hiring them now because I make money, I... You got to make sure you hire like a non-defective white.
What does a non-defective white mean?
It's a white person that actually believes in themselves. So when you get pulled over by the cops, they don't have a panic attack.
Yeah. I'm definitely a non-defective white.
I had a white employee, a camera guy, 2 years ago. We got pulled over in New Jersey. He's driving, so I'm thinking, oh, we're good. I'm like, time to lock in, earn that salary, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The cop pulls up to the window. The guy starts having a full-blown panic attack.
God.
He goes from white to pink. I'm just like, I'm just looking
over
at,
what though?
He's just nervous, and I'm just kind of like, there's nothing to be nervous about.
You're white.
Yeah,
he's obviously never been beaten up by a cop.
Never, obviously. And it just was like a very like, okay, like this guy is not the right white employee, so I got to get someone that like, you know, just knows how to talk to the cops. You know, who can handle.
You need you a DJ Automatic is what you need.
Yeah.
I don't know. You might be nervous too. Your friend Graham, you said you were shocked. I remember you telling me a story. He got pulled over by.
I just told you guys, I grew up pretty much predominantly Mexican neighborhood. When I got to college, my friend Graham,
white friend,
he drove a pink bug, and we got pulled over, and the cop comes up and he's like, "You guys are speeding," and he's like, "This car doesn't even do 50 miles per hour. What are you talking about?" And I was like, "Whoa, did he just say that to the cop?"
Yeah.
And the cop's like, "Don't talk to me like that. I'm gonna give you a ticket." And he's like, "Cool, do whatever the fuck you want." And I was like, "Yo, what are you doing?" Yeah. And he was like, "Don't he ain't gonna talk to me like that?" And I was like, "Dude, you gotta chill out. He's gonna pull us out of the car and beat the fuck out of us." And he was like, "Nah, that guy." And he comes back and he's about to give him the ticket, and he's giving him the ticket, and he was like, "Give me that ticket." And he grabs it out of his hand and he's like, "I'm leaving." And he just pulls off, and I was like, "I had never even seen anything like that before in my life."
That's a non-defective white guy. That's the kind of employee you need.
Yeah, we found him, Graham. Yeah, I need to hire Graham.
Martin Amini is at the Houston Improv all weekend. It is a sold-out show, though. So what you got on Sunday for the people here in Houston?
Yeah, man, we're doing another. We added this bonus show. I love doing, like, one last show, like a bonus show, so I can kind of, like, all the things that happen Thursday through Saturday, I can even talk about it, tell some stories about, like, you know, the Houston characters I've met so far. And just kind of, like, work on some bonus jokes that they probably didn't see Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Do some crowd work, have some fun.
That'll be good. I love the crowd work. I love the improv. That's what this is all about, right? Just having a good time with the people in the audience. That's why you're so beloved, though, because you've always done a great job of communicating with the audience.
Thank you.
You know, being in touch with them. And that's why I love following you guys. I love following your marriage, though, too.
Yeah.
I love love. So for me, I was just like, oh, my gosh, this, you know, you represent something that a lot of people want. And I think that's another reason people come to the shows. They want to find that.
Yeah. Well, what's the secret to your success?
Yeah.
You know?
Otto's my best friend.
Yeah. I always say that, you know, and it sounds cliche, marriage is a roller coaster. You just can't get off of it. There's going to be ups and downs. And, like, there's some times where I always love her. I don't always like her.
Yeah, it's true.
And we
did y'all feel that?
Yeah.
Did y'all feel that?
And, right,
but it's different because y'all be, like, working together, too.
Yeah, we're always together.
Yeah.
We're not, because sometimes I'll go to our bedroom and say, "Don't bother me," and I'll close the door.
Sometimes when we leave the studio, if we're not having a good day, we'll go home and we might not talk.
He'll go to the studio. I'll go to the bedroom, or I'll just be, you know, I'll stream something, or I'll work on the show, and then in a couple hours we're good.
And how many years is this now?
Oh my God, 17 years now. Yeah, that's a long time.
Clap it up for 17. Clap it up for 17.
We're coming to the show. We'll see you there.
Oh man,
thank you for coming in. We love you guys.
Thank you.
Yes,
the Dana Cortez Show podcast.